We have removed all the hymnals and all the pews out of the Bible. I mean, all of the Bibles and hymnals out of the pews, amen. I'm looking forward to the day that we can do that. It turns out it doesn't really stay on very long anyhow, that we could have probably left them in because the time you touch it and maybe you might transmit something on there, come back for the next service, it's already has gone. Look in the book of Galatians chapter number 5. Look at just one verse this evening. Really, the Lord has laid upon my heart a message as we think about the independence of America. What all that means. I don't know if you're like me or not, but listen, I still get teary-eyed when I sing the national anthem and I stand with my hand over my heart, or being a veteran in the military, I render the hand salute. I still get teary-eyed. It still means something to me, and I trust it means something to you as well. I thank God for freedom. I thank God for the freedom to travel the fruited plains. I thank God for the freedom to visit the purple mountain majesties. I thank God for the freedom to go from the sea to shining sea without having to clear 1,000 checkpoints in between each of the coasts. I thank God for freedom to go to the voting booth where the destiny of our nation is chosen just one vote at a time. I thank God for freedom to work a job that I have a chance to choose and God has called me to. I thank God for the freedom to have and own my own piece of property, to enjoy life and to build a life of my own choosing, not dictated by the state that runs most people's lives. You see, we are free today because someone paid the price. Someone bought that right for you and me. Lee Greenwood sings a song that almost makes me tear up every time I hear it, and I know you've heard it 1,000 times, no doubt. It goes like this: I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know that I'm free. I won't forget the men who died who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there is no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. You see, freedom and independence are costly. This country didn't start out as a nation of free men, but was subjects bound under the tyranny of an English king. Through a bitter struggle, our forefathers broke through this chain of bondage. My freedom was purchased in the blood on the battlefields of Bunker Hill and Yorktown and in the cold of Valley Forge. Less than 30 years later, in the War of 1812, once again, Britain tried to place those chains of tyranny upon our great nation. But thank God they were defeated. One famous battle of that war, the Battle of New Orleans, was only fought because the two sides did not know that a peace treaty had already been signed. But the soldiers of Andrew Jackson and the pirates of John Lafitte stood side by side to stop a foreign nation from making us under their tyranny once again. Another 30 years goes by, and once again in 1846, we find ourselves defending our right to be free from the Mexican army that attacked the U.S. troops along the Rio Grande in southwest Texas. The Battle of Alamo had already given Texans its independence, but the Mexicans didn't like that. And General Winfield Scott led our troops to the capital of Mexico and ended the fighting only after more than 1,000 men had paid the price for our freedom. Less than 15 years later, an even greater threat to our freedom was thrust upon us. But this time, we did it ourselves. A great division caused our country to nearly destroy itself from within. We became a house divided. The Civil War erupted at Fort Sumter in South Carolina and ended 5 years later at Appomattox Courthouse of Virginia. Only after freedom had distracted the toll of over 500,000 who shed their blood before we were once together, united again as a great nation. 30 years went by, and suddenly our freedom was questioned once again as the Spanish this time tried to take it away. But the price of freedom was paid for at San Juan Hill when Teddy Roosevelt and his famous Rough Riders fought against the Spanish on the island of Cuba after the battleship Maine was sunk in Havana's harbor. Less than 20 years later, around 1914, came the next challenge. Freedom's price was challenged by Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany. Once again, the high price of freedom was guaranteed in the trenches of the Argonne Forest and the Western Front in Belgium during World War I. 24 years later, after the war to end all wars was ended, another war began. on December the 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy, the Japanese surprise attack at Pearl Harbor and the lives of over 2,000 of our men and women and sailors and soldiers, plunging our nation once again into the cauldron of blood. Freedom's price was heavy indeed, as America's fighting men died by the thousands on little islands like Iwo Jima, Tarawa, Guadalcanal, and on the beaches and hedgerows of places like Normandy in France during World War II. Countless battles in fields and jungles all around the world are forever stained with the blood of those who paid the last full measure of devotion as their price of freedom. Less than 10 years later, in 1950, blood was spilling again at the frozen Chosin Reservoir, Incheon and Pusan, when the communists of North Korea and China tried to destroy the freedom of all mankind. Those battles were fought on foreign soil, but they kept our land free. 10 years later, in the rice paddies of the Mekong Delta and Kaesong, and in the Tet Offensive and many other places in the land that we call Vietnam, that America would love to forget forever, men died and blood was shed in the longest war of our country's history. Though the sacrifice wasn't appreciated or even recognized for many years, over 58,000 soldiers gave their lives for the freedom that we enjoy here this evening. 15 years later, on the sand dunes of Kuwait, and 10 years later, on the streets of New York and the fields of Pennsylvania, the nation's capital, and in the mountains of Afghanistan, the battle for freedom flared up once again, and more men and women died for our freedom. And right now, in the countries of Iraq and Afghanistan and a thousand places all across this world, men and women are still paying the price in blood for the freedom and liberty that we enjoy. To all the soldiers, past and present, should the Lord tarry, to all those who will be in the future, whose blood will pay the price for the freedom of our America, I say thank you. Today we honor you and we thank God for the freedom that your sacrifice that has paid the price in full. But understand this evening, there's a greater freedom that I give thanks for today. And there was a price in blood one day over 2,000 years ago by the most precious sacrifice this world would ever know. And that day, my King, my Lord, and my Savior, Jesus Christ, died on the cross of Calvary just for me. Because Jesus paid that price in blood, I'm free to be his child. I'm free to serve him. I'm free this evening to praise him. I'm free to love him. I'm free to worship him. I'm free to live for him and with him. And I'm free to work for him tonight. But that freedom is not free, and neither was it cheap. My King paid a high price for that freedom and liberty that we have because of what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. No man has ever experienced freedom without the shedding of blood to pay its price. And that is especially true of my freedom and liberty we have in Christ. And this evening, I want us to think very quickly this evening about the freedom and liberty that we enjoy in Christ. Let's read Galatians 5 and verse number 1, then we'll pray. The Bible said in Galatians 5 and verse number 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, and we are so thankful and so grateful, Father, for the blood that was shed, Father, that we might be able to enjoy this freedom, that this ability we have to worship, Father, without worrying about someone turning us into the government, without the government coming in and destroying all that we have. And so, Father, we're thankful for that blood that was shed. But, Father, more so this evening, I'm thankful for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. I'm thankful, Father, that you sent your Son, and your Son was willing to go to that cross and there, Father, give up his life in order that we might inherit eternal life. Oh, Father, help us to never forget that. Help us, Father, to think, Father, about this thought of freedom's price this evening. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people And Father, may your name be honored and glorified in and through the preaching and teaching of your word. So, Father, we pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Notice, first of all, in verse number one this evening, as we would literally think about freedom's price this evening. Notice verse number one. If you're taking notes, you can write down freedom's source. Freedom's source. Notice the second part of the verse. I know it's not ordinary to go to the second part of the verse before the first part, but just bear with me a little bit here. Notice freedom's source. The Bible says, wherewith Christ has made us free. I want to ask you this question this evening. It's kind of a rhetorical question. How much is freedom's worth? How much is freedom worth? If you're going to have to pay a price for freedom, how much would you be willing to pay for that freedom? Understand this, that God thought our freedom was worth the price of his only begotten son. I don't know how you would value that, but if you could value that, I can tell you what, it'd be more than you and I could ever afford. It's more than you and I could ever imagine. So freedom's source is simply this, wherewith Christ has made us free. Notice that Christ was delivered up. In Romans 4 and verse 25, the Bible says, who was delivered for our offenses. In other words, Christ was delivered because of our sin and was raised again for our justification. And because Jesus Christ was delivered up, guess what, my friends? Paul can write in 2 Corinthians chapters 1 and verse number 10, he can make mention that you and I are delivered up because Christ was delivered up. Notice in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, the Bible says this, who delivered us from so great a death, and notice, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he yet delivers us. There's three great things in here. Notice, Christ has delivered us. He has delivered us from death, hell, and the grave. Thank God for that. But then we notice, doth deliver. That's speaking about the present. And we see that Christ is delivering us right now. And then lastly, Christ will deliver us. And one day we'll be in heaven. The trump of God is going to sound, my friend, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those that are alive and remain will be with him for all eternity up in heaven. I'm thankful for that. Christ was delivered up so that you and I could be delivered up as well. Boy, how exciting is that? In John 8 and verse 36, the Bible said, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You see, a freedom source comes from none other than Jesus Christ himself. And I like what Paul writes in Romans 6 and verse 17 and 18. But God be thanks, where ye were the servants of sin, hath delivered us, were the servants of sin. But now you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Thank God for freedom source. But then notice, secondly tonight, notice freedom security. Notice verse number one, the first part of the verse. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast in that liberty. That word stand fast seems to give an indication in the original Greek construction. It means to keep on standing. It means to stay free since you have been set free. How much are you willing to pay to keep your freedom? If I were to say, how much would you pay not to obtain the freedom but to keep your freedom? You would say it would be priceless, Pastor Dave. There's no way we can afford to pay that much to keep our freedom. Will we pay the price of standing fast to secure our freedom? I think that's what Paul was saying. He's saying, keep on standing. Stand free since Christ has set you free. I think as we think about standing fast, we ought to think about standing fast in freedom's declared lifestyle. In Philippians 1 and verse 27, Paul writes this, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye, get these words, stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We need to stand fast in freedom's declared lifestyle. You say, well, what is that? Boy, that means that we just ought to do what's right and continue to do what's right because we have been set free from that bondage of sin. I think we should stand fast as well by working the works of God. Now, Paul, as he writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58, this is a great verse. This is our camp verse that is our theme verse for Pleasure Island Bible Camp. And I'm so sad. This is the first year, I believe it's 24 years, that I haven't been able to go to Bible Camp. It really breaks my heart. It's the highlight of my year to be able to take the juniors down 1 week and the teenagers down the next week. And so I told our camp director that we might miss this year and the governor might keep us this year, but next year we're going to have a big old grand time. And so we think about this verse, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, get that word, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. So we find in this verse that we're to be steadfast. We are to be unmovable, freedom, security, stand fast in that liberty that we have. And to pay the price of standing fast for freedom in Jesus Christ, the Bible says is never, ever, ever in vain. Well, we see the source of our freedom and security of our the security. Notice thirdly, freedom, safety. And notice the last part of that verse. And the Bible says, now be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How much will you pay to keep your freedom? Will you pay the price, get this now, of self-control to remain safe in our freedom? You see, freedom is never about not having any restraints. That's not what freedom is. Freedom is never about not having any guidelines or any principles, but it's about living responsible lives with the freedoms and liberty that God has given us in the guidelines contained inside His Word. You see, that word entangled means to be ensnared or to be trapped. And that those words, the yoke of bondage, Paul was writing about making reference to be a slave once again, as we've been studying through Galatians, and we understood that and know that to be a slave to the law. But Paul's words are a negative command here. Notice what he says. He says, be not. Don't be tied up again. He says, don't put yourself back into the bondage of what you've been freed from. And so many people today want to put themselves back under the bondage of law, back under the bondage of sin. But I believe Paul is not only speaking about bondage to the law in this case, but also to living a self-controlled life. All you have to do is turn the TV on. And I'm not making any pretenses that people we see during those riots and protests are saved. I actually probably believe majority of them aren't. But understand this, they're not living lives of self-control. And when we as born-again believers live lives of self-control, we do not allow the sin that once held us captive to hold us any longer. You see, living in freedom, safety, it's not giving into the authority of sin, but giving into the authority of Jesus Christ, who removed that sin debt from our life. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. He says, I can do basically whatever I want, but it's not always good for me to do those things. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So Paul is saying, listen, I have a liberty in Christ to do what I want to. But he said, not all things are good for me to do. And he said, I am not going to be brought under the bondage of sin or the law once again. He kind of almost repeats the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. But he speaks about living in freedom, safety is not lifting up sin, but lifting up Jesus Christ. And the first part of 1 Corinthians 10:23 is similar to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. And Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but notice the ending has changed. And he said, but all things edify not. And he said, my life and my desire is to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to do that in my life. Freedom, safety is to be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, freedom's source, wherewith Christ has made us free. Freedom, security, stand fast in that liberty. Freedom, safety, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Freedom, yes. We would say, yes, Pastor. Freedom, yes. But then my question to you is, are you willing to pay the price? Phillips Brooks is a great preacher and a great theologian, wrote this, and I close. No man in this world attains to freedom from any slavery except by entrance into some higher servitude. And the higher servitude Phillip Brooks is speaking about is when we surrender ourselves and our life and we see Christ as our Savior and make Him the master of our life. Then and only then can we really understand freedom's price. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this evening, Father. And Lord, I pray you, as we leave here today and we think about freedom's price, we think about its source, wherewith Christ has made us free. We think about freedom's security. We stand fast in the liberty and not go back under the bondage of sin or the bondage of the law. And then freedom's safety, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Oh, Father, help us to be willing to pay the price for freedom. So, Father, we pray tonight that if there be someone here who doesn't know Christ as their own personal Savior, that before they leave the building, Father, they would take a moment, they would stop us at the door. Let us take the Bible and show them truly how they can be free and how Christ can set them free. So, Father, watch over us. Keep us safe till we meet again the next hour. Look forward to our July 4th celebration this coming Sunday morning, Father. May you be honored and glorified in all that we do between now and then. Help us, Father, to be the church, particularly in prayer. So, Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you and give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you.